Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's time for Shortcuts. Some say he's the only man alive who knows what was in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. But if he tells anyone, it will unleash a terrible and ancient evil upon the world. All we know is his name is Dan Slevin. Kia ora, Dan.
Kia ora, Emil. And talking of an ancient and awful evil, I've had one of the most frustrating days of my in living memory, perhaps. I woke up this morning to find that I'd been locked out of my Facebook account. And I don't know if you've ever experienced the kind of Kafkaesque nightmare that it is, the loops you go through and the hurdles you jump through in order to try and get yourself restored. But it has wasted hours and hours of my time today. So I should point out that perhaps talking to the nation live on the radio is a more relaxing option.
Yes,
at this point,
the therapeutic nature of talking on nights at 20 to 10. I'm sorry to hear that, Dan, and I know exactly what you mean when it's like Facebook. It's just horrifying, isn't it? Facebook's like, if you want to get back into your locked Facebook account, log into your Facebook account and answer this direct message that we've sent to you. It's that simple.
Take a photograph of your driver's license and send it to us. Like, yeah, sure, I'm going to do that. There's also like one of the options they give you is an automated chat bot on their site. And, you know, this is a $1 trillion company. It's an information technology company, but their chat bot times out. Like, get more computers. And so the chatbot times out, and then you go back. Not only do you go back to the beginning of the chat, you lose everything that you've done up to that point, but it also tells you you have to wait for an hour before you can start again. And it is like, I just can't believe, this is probably more frustrating than anything. Like, it makes it sound like I'm kind of addicted to Facebook and I can't wait to get back on. It's not for that. It's a professional tool for me, but it's just, I can't bear dealing with garbage systems like this, and yet there they are making trillions of dollars.
Yeah. My sympathies, Dan. Life's not fair. I get it, though. Yeah. Hey, let's have a nice chat. I think that will help. And one day I'll tell you the story of the time that my mother got pickpocketed in London and went through very similar emotions to you. Oh.
Yeah, I'm just going to breathe.
Okay, your first pick this week is an in-cinemas choice. This is a New Zealand movie. You wrote about it in your Substack, Funerals and Snakes Today. The film's called The Moon is Upside Down. Tell us a bit about this. This looks quite interesting.
It is interesting, and it's unusual for a New Zealand film as well. What I might do is play a little bit of the trailer, even though the trailer is almost sort of 95% unrepresentative of the actual sort of tone and pace of the film. It'll give you an idea about how much is going on inside it. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Hello. Reason for visit, business or pleasure?
Business. I'm getting married.
Thank you.
So when do we get to meet Mr. Breyer?
It's just online.
So you haven't even spent any real time together.
A lot happens on Skype.
Hi.
I'm coming.
Now.
Judging by the decomposition of her body, natural causes.
Dear God.
She must have been dead when my husband bought the place.
It's like buying a jacket with an arm in it.
I vow I do not know of any legal objection to this marriage.
I'm very excited to see the cafeteria now.
So, you know,
I think what we're looking at here is a river of cash.
So that one of the things that I took away from that, Dan, is that I know that this is a New Zealand movie, and I don't know what a New Zealand movie normally sounds like, but that doesn't sound like what I expect a New Zealand movie to normally sound like, if you know what I mean.
No, it is quite different. First of all, we've got it's sort of a multi-character ensemble piece rather than focused on one single individual. It's a story of three women who are their stories are running parallel to each other, and you have a suspicion that at some point they may intersect as the film goes on. The first woman is a Siberian mail order bride who's arrived in Wellington to meet her husband, played by Jermaine Clement, mm-hmm. and he and his sister drive her up from Wellington up through the North Island to the kind of central North Island to a fairly bleak service station there, where she has been told she's going to be running a cafe, and it turns out there's nothing of the sort, and she's wondering what she's got herself into. Meanwhile, in Wellington, an older woman called Faith, played by Elizabeth Hawthorne, she's alone in her kind of plush inner-city apartment because her husband is travelling overseas, and he's asked her to inspect the investment flats that they've bought. And as part of that inspection, she discovers that there's a corpse in one of those flats, and that body's probably been there since before they bought them. And she decides that this person who has nobody to look after their remains needs to be sent off decently and humanely and properly. And so she gets the body cremated and then looks around to try and find a place to scatter those ashes. And the third story is about an anaesthetist called Briar, played by Lauren Taylor, who's also the writer and director of the film. And she's in an online relationship with a character played by Robbie Magaseva. And all she wants is a romantic weekend, the first time she's going to meet this guy in person. And that doesn't go according to plan either. And it's very gently paced. It's very wry. There's a lot of, I think, New Zealand style sort of dry humor in there, but it feels like a much more kind of a European style film than a New Zealand one, and I really appreciated that. It's got a kind of bittersweet quality to it, and it's also, I think, it's a rare New Zealand film that's actually quite cruel about New Zealand and about the kind of people we are, and it's not a celebration of who we are or the kind of people we are, the way we live. And I think that that's kind of nice for a change as well, because we actually see a lot of this through the eyes of somebody who's just arrived in a country, yeah. And we go, oh, this isn't really all that good, is it?
We can be a bit self-congratulatory about how nice.
I enjoyed it a lot.
We can, I think, as New Zealanders, be a bit self-congratulatory sometimes about how nice we are. And a lot, you know, as with any country, any people in any country in the world, you know, there are nice people, there are not that nice people, and New Zealand's really no different, right?
Yeah, and it's not as if these people aren't nice or good. Mm. It's just that they're kind of failing a little, you know, and it's that recognition of somehow not achieving what you intended to in life, or that life hasn't given you what you think you deserve, that's often at the root of these sorts of things. I think what I read another review which said that you get the impression that all of these characters have full real lives when they're not on screen, you know, which is not always the case in movies. And I kind of agreed with that. It's very well written in that regard and very well played. And I really appreciated Lauren Taylor's direction, because I got the impression that her direction was mostly to all of the actors was to do less, mm-hmm. you know, to do less, give us less, and as a result we get more.
Now, an interesting part of your written review on Funerals and Snakes was your observations, what I found anyway, was your observations about the cast, because the cast features some really familiar names, Jermaine Clement, as you mentioned, Robin Malcolm, Robbie Magaseva, and you said that your initial reaction was kind of, it's the same people who've been acting in movies in New Zealand for a long time. Can't we have someone new? But actually, upon watching the movie, you were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I I do. I've seen it described as star-studded. This because there are a lot of very familiar faces. A lot of people who have been very successful in recent New Zealand films. Rachel House, for example, and of course Jeanette MacDonald, who now has her own section of the New Zealand On Screen website, which I know you talked about last week. And so, you know, there are all these familiar faces, and I'm like, oh, I want to see new people. I really do, because it you know, there is a you sometimes get the sense that in the New Zealand screen community, there's a lot of sort of wanting to work with your mates, and it doesn't necessarily provide opportunities for everybody. But that was what I felt going in, and that was. But after I watched it, I saw that these actors are being challenged. They've got a good script, and they're being asked to not necessarily fall back on what they're used to, their old habits, if you know what I mean. And that was a very pleasant surprise.
Let's move on and talk about your second recommendation, your paid streaming recommendation this week. Is this the first? I mean, two questions. Does this count as a reality TV show? And if so, is this the first reality TV show that you have reviewed on Shortcuts with me?
Yes, it is. Yes, in both. Yes to both of those questions. And I have to say that this is comes with it a slight confession, and that is that our comfort food when it comes to our screen watching here is sort of architecture and design and real estate, and you know, it comes from Grand Designs. You know, Grand Designs was the original and probably still the best of these human-centered but still about the challenges of making something where nothing existed before. And there's a lot of those sorts of shows around. There's a lot of sort of real estate flipping, making money, you know, turning stuff around, you know, location, 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 that sort of stuff. We're not really into the money side of things, but we do like watching people build things, and we like learning about interesting people and the choices they make and why they choose to build particular things. And so this show is called Home, and it's on Apple TV Plus. And if you can imagine, when Apple gets into the real estate documentary reality TV game, it's going to do it with taste, and it's going to do it with class, and it's going to do it with a pretty enormous budget. And so this came out, I think it got missed out a lot because it was one of the early shows on Apple TV Plus before lots of people had access to it. And so it got overlooked a wee bit. But it's such a lovely show. They're 9 half-hour episodes in season one, and they're geographically diverse. The first one is in Sweden, which is a log cabin built inside a greenhouse, which is amazing. These shows are you arrive after the building has been built. So this isn't about the struggles of getting it built. This is about the choices that were made and the people that they are. So this very first episode, which is set in Sweden, it's really about how the building of this building for a guy helped him understand his autistic son, because he had to create spaces for his son that were going to work for him. And he had grown up sort of feeling like he had failed his child, and the building brought them together. And so there are human stories all the way through, but then there's also technology stories. There's an incredible episode set in Bali where a Canadian architect, she's actually not even a qualified architect, but she's lived in Bali for a long time, is building these incredible buildings out of bamboo. And bamboo is the fastest growing timber in the world. And she says, you know, this building, none of this timber existed 5 years ago. And imagine what we could do if we were growing this properly and seriously. There's an incredible Hong Kong episode with a guy whose apartment is only 67 square meters, and he's just hung all of the walls on movable sort of tracks, which means that he has what he considers to be a kind of infinite apartment, because it can just open it up to whatever size, shape, every room can change. So each one of these episodes is fascinating. They're beautifully photographed, beautiful sound, And I think that they're a really fantastic way to while away. You can watch a couple of those in at the end of a, you know, if you've watched some heavy drama or what have you, and you want a palate cleanser before you go to bed, watch a couple of episodes of Home, and you'll go to bed feeling much better about the world.
Love it. I think we have a clip of Home. Should we play that, Dan? Yeah, let's hear it now.
If you're going to make something, it's part of a story. It started before you came in contact with the materials and will continue long after.
Jonathan's autism made me think why I'm building this house. He taught me responsibility.
I was investing in my block. I was investing in my life.
There is an alternative way to live.
We are trying to use 3D printing to show that homelessness is a solvable problem.
And now we're in the business of community building.
We're here to change things. We're here to make things different.
There's probably a good reason why they've always made a door like that, why that's usually the way it is. But what if it wasn't?
RNZ National, that is Home. It is streaming on Apple TV Plus at the moment. And Dan, that sounds right up my alley. We've got about 3 minutes left. Tell us about your free option this week, please.
Yeah, just quickly, all three seasons of a series that we really enjoyed called Star Trek Picard have just dropped on TVNZ Plus. And that's the kind of reboot of Star Trek The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. And all three seasons have a slightly different tone to them, so it's not like you're just sort of repeating yourself over and over again. We'll play a little clip from, I think it's the last but one episode of season three, and you will get sort of nostalgia chills if you're a Star Trek fan of any age.
Mr. Forge, may I?
Absolutely, Admiral.
Computer, initiate system reactivation procedures.
Authorization acknowledged. USS Enterprise now under command of Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, I hereby accept the field demotion. We've been here before, and I'm reluctant to ask you all to face this threat again.
We are the crew of the USS Enterprise. But more than that, we're your family.
Jack, Elandra, Sydney, they're our family too.
Jean-Luc, wherever you go, we go.
Thank you, number one. Stations, please.
All systems online, Captain.
Weapons are ready, although they are limited.
Well, at least we got them. If we encounter the Borg, we're going to need to run, shoot, or hide. So, Geordi, we'll need every bit of power you can get to those old shields.
Make it so.
Aye, sir.
RNZ National with Star Trek Picard. It's free streaming on TVNZ Plus. Dan, we've got about a minute and a bit left, but I never really got into Star Trek, but I was telling Bonnie just then that trailer sounds exactly like what I think Star Trek sounds like, and if someone was into it back in the day, it must be, you know, like, oh my god, pump this into my veins, please.
Absolutely, and it's like a warm blanket. One of the things that I like about it turning up on TVNZ Plus is that this series was originally built for broadcast TV, and so there are ad breaks built in, so the ad breaks on TVNZ Plus won't interrupt the flow, you know, and that's if they put them in the right place. I haven't tested it, but they should put them in the right place, and it should be just perfect television, I reckon.
That's a great shout, because they can be quite annoying when TV shows are not designed for those ad breaks, can't they? Dan Sleven, really nice chatting. I hope that was somewhat of a balm on your otherwise a bit ratty day, and that the Facebook issue gets sorted out post-haste.
I'm so relaxed now.
That's what we like to hear. Dan Sleven, ladies and gentlemen, our resident movie critic here on Nights.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.